Okay, so here we are, ready to study Pali. We're moving on from our study of the factors that make up a nama, a noun, or nominal form. So we have three types of words in Pali, right? We got the nouns, we got the verbs, and we've got the indeclinables. And again, the only reason they're separated in those three is based very much on their declension. The nouns you decline one way, I mean, ending you put on a certain type of ending. The verbs you put on a different type of ending. And the indeclinables you don't put on any ending. They don't change. Ending is your first big important thing to learn in Pali, the ending. Let's get that clear. That's what we want to learn. So we should have sort of taken away from last week. It's that ending. And so determining the ending requires you to consider gender, number. We call it an English number, plural or singular. And the third thing you have to consider, it's here as vipatti, but that's... that's not exactly what you have to consider. You have to consider which set of declensions you're going to use. And by that, we actually mean the ending of the stem word. Okay? So, we have gender, and then we have plural singular. Those two things we have to consider. The third thing we have to consider is actually which vowel the noun ends in. So if you skip down to page, I don't know, these pages are even numbered? I don't know. Skip down. If you want, you can come here and read if you want. Anyway, you have to scroll down to where we're talking about three qualities of nama. And then there's there's this chart where it says ekavachana and bahuvachana. I've got it highlighted here. Funny that we don't have page numbers, huh? You see? Mm-hmm. We can come a little closer. Okay. But we're going to skip past this first. So we'll come back to this chart here afterwards. Pages are there somewhere? I don't see them. Anyway. So but here we have ekavachana and bahuvachana. Anyway, it shows that. But let's look at regular and irregular. So a regular nama has one of six endings. You see, in Pali. Nouns end, regular nouns, end in one of six vowels, the first six vowels. And this is the important distinction. So you're going to have six groups. In fact, if you look even at the next part, you're going to have 13 groups. So, for example, you have Buddha is a word that ends in A. So it fits in a specific group. If you look at Muni means sage. That fits in the second group. Different type of word based on its ending. I've got these new keys. Watch this. I can actually type. Figured out how to type diacritics. Sati is a different group. And unfortunately, I don't have one for this. That's going to be a long one. Garu. Garu means teacher. Guru, as we know in Sanskrit, and Garu is the Pali. A different group. And then you have Win-yu. I don't have a key for that, Nya. that about it. Wenyu means one who knows. The one who knows specially, special knower. One who knows special things. But there's five here. So if you, yeah, right. So under masculine, there are five. Masculine nouns never end in a long A. So it's often a tell if you have a word like banya, that it's more likely to be feminine, right? Or in case of the text, it uses the word ganya. Feminine don't end in a short A. You have ratti. Ratti means night, as in opposite of day. Ratti is a whole other, it's a different set. So it's going to be declined. The endings are going to change in a different way because of the ending, and because of the ending vowel. So the nightmare that I'm gonna give to you next is the fact that there are 13 different charts. I think I mentioned this last week. 13 different charts you have to memorize. Big deal. The first heavy thing you have to prepare yourself in Pali. The other feminine. Arati. Nari. Nari, and then Anju means rope, I think. Anju. Wadu. What does wadu mean? Okay, what wadu means? Wife, maybe? Yeah. Raju means rope. Wadu means wife. Wadu. Oh, and under neuter, not neutral. We have kula means family, aki means eye, and the eye on your face, two eyes, and watu means a thing, package, sometimes a thing, an object, an item.
Bhante, determining between the masculine ah and the neuter ah, you just strictly memorize everything?
Again, unless you're composing, it's not that big of a deal. But you do have to recognize in certain cases, like if you come up with kulang, okay? The ung ending is distinctive of neuter. So this can be the object or the subject of the sentence. So a family, kulang, bawadati. Again, my Pali composition is not perfect, so please don't be too harsh on me when I do these spur of the moment. So kulang bawadati means the family grows, I think. Does it make sense to you? Kulang pavadati, pa I just added there, but you could just say vadati, but I think pavadati would be, pa is just augment. But vadati means to grow, to get strong, right? So pa is just, it's just like accentuates that. So only neuter can do this. With masculine, you don't have this ang. You do have the ang, but only in the case of the object of the sentence. So it can be confusing because you have puriso. Puriso gacchati, right? The man goes. Not purisang. But then you would have nari, the woman, purisang gacchati. The woman goes to the man. So purisang is object, meaning goes to. So again, you have the ang. So how do you, so telling the difference and figuring out how to translate it is difficult. Of course, once you understand that, once you memorize, if you do memorize that kula is neuter, then you get why this can be the object. The only reason it can be, ang can be an object. Okay, well, maybe that's just totally confused you. Hopefully not too bad, too badly. Anyway, that's getting ahead of us. Let's take it step by step, and it should be fairly comprehensible. Okay, so we've got, at any rate, we've got these 13 different types of word, and this means that any masculine word that ends in a is going to be the same as Buddha. So you have Buddha, you have Purisa. It means they're all in one group. They all fit in the same group, and as a result, they're all declined in the same way. They all take the same sort of endings. So, but the meaning is Buddha will become Buddho to be the object, but Muni will not become Muno. Muni will become Muni. It doesn't change, actually. If you have the plural of Buddho, the plural is Buddha in the object, the subject. If it's the subject of the sentence, many Buddhas. Is Buddha, but Muni is not Muna, right? Because it's an e ending, it's going to plural subject. The subject plural of Muni is Muni, the long e, or Muni or Munayo. It can actually be either or. So you'll see both. It's a tough language to learn for this reason. There's a lot that you need to learn. But I'm trying to give you basic sort of understanding so you can understand why, when you see something at the very least, you'll get a sense of why. Okay? Let's not worry too much about that for now. For now, we want to be just understand that they're different. So masculine are going to have five different types of words, feminine, likewise five. Neuter are going to have three different ones. Okay. Knowing that, let's scroll back up to this chart. Scroll back up above that to where I talk about vipatti. Because now we can sort of fit this all in. If you look at this chart, you have on the left side here, you have seven numbers in the A. And this chart is going to become an example for everything we do for the, I don't even know if we have to do it all, because when I do this when I do this live, you all have to, I write up on the whiteboard and you copy down. But here they're all copied for you, so the only thing you really have to do now is memorize. If you really want to learn Pali, you have to scroll down to the charts and memorize them. But this is the chart that's going to be the base. So what you'll do with this chart is where I've put these words, right? You would put the ending or the example. So if we're looking at Purisa, if you scroll down, if this were going to be Purisa, meaning man, then in the first column here, you'd put Puriso, which means the word Puriso is the ekavachana, singular form of the first declension. my Sanskrit teacher did something really neat for us that we use throughout the course, and I'd like to suggest that I'm probably going to use here. It's the it's a dual number system. So to refer to first declension ekavachana, he would say 1-1. So the 1-1 form, meaning first declension, one singular, first declension singular. The 1-1 form of purisa is puriso. That's what we came to say. It's just so much easier than saying first declension ekavachana or singular. The 1-2 form is purisa. So 1-1 equals puriso. 1-2 meaning first declension plural, purisa. So if we get this system, if we can all agree on this system, then it's much easier throughout the course to point things out and say, okay, the 4-2 form or the 7-1 form or so on. And so there's going to be a chart like this. If you scroll down, you'll see them. Puriso, purisa. And then 2-1 will be purisang. And the 2-2, put them here. 2-1 is purisang. 2-2 form, meaning second declension plural, purise. Purisena, purisena, 3-2. And so again, I don't want to muddy up this chart too much, so I think putting them in there is probably not useful at this point. But what we're talking about here is going left to right down the columns, right? So this is 2-1, 2-2, 3-1, 3-2, 4-1, 4-2, 5-1, 5-2, 6-1, 6-2, 7-1, 7-2. And then I guess we'll just say A1, A2, right? But I don't remember what we exactly did there. Anyway, port 3-2 is purisehi or purisebi. And purisebi is very rare. You're just going to see these. This is common of 3-2. The 3-2 and 5-2 forms always look like ehi, ebi, or ahi, abhi. But the bhi is very rare. Happens, but very rare. So mostly it's ehi in this case. 4-1, purisasa. Purisaya. That's a purisaya, purisatang. There's three here. Most common by far is this first form. You sometimes get purisaya. And the funny thing about purisatang is it's actually a compound. I'm quite sure, because atta means purpose or benefit. So purisatang means the benefit of the purisa, means for the purisa. So that's why it can be used as a 4-1 form. Because 4-1 means 2 or 4, right? So it's actually not quite I don't believe that that's a declension. To me, that's a compound. Because atta already, it's literally 4. Almost literally. 4-2. Purisanang. 5-1. Puris. Wait a second. Yeah. Puris. Purisanang. Puris. Purisa. Boy, my poly is rusty. Memory is going. I'm getting old. Purisasma. Why did I forget that? Oh, that's embarrassing. Purisasma. Purisa. Brahm. How could I forget that? Purisehi. Puri Sebhi 6-1. Puri Sasa. No, we don't get Puri Saya. Tu Puri Sana 7-1. Puri Purisas Ming Purisamhi Purise. And so here, well, let's finish it, then I'll address that, because you'll see overlap, and that's the first question people have: how do we deal with overlap? Not a very good answer, but the question. Purisesu A1 Purisa A2 Purisa. And that's a full chart. Now, you wouldn't write it out this way. You'd write it out in the chart, but of course, it's not having a whiteboard, it's harder for me to put it in a chart form. She probably wouldn't have been, but I wanted here to give you the numbers. Actually, making a chart on this would probably be pretty easy. But the charts are there. This is a little bit, I wanted to give you them so you could have this numbering system down. Okay, so following chart, you'd put these in the chart going left to right. And if you scroll down, you'll see here we have Purisa. Right, we have that chart. And he's missing one, Purisamhi. Purisamhi. But maybe I didn't give it to him. It's not as common.
1-2 and A2 is exactly the same. Is that?
Except not.
Except not. Okay.
No, it's similar. And it's interesting you should point that out, because actually A isn't considered its own declension. It's actually considered to be the first declension. And it often is exactly the same. In masculine nouns ending in A, it's different. It's sometimes different. This one is A1 is often different. So I'll go through these. But A2 and 1-2 are almost, I think, almost universally the same. I remember there is, I think, one or two of the irregulars that are different. But I'm pretty sure all the regulars are the same. The only difference will be A1 and 1-1, sometimes different. Okay. So as to what these mean, we then apply these words that I've put in the chart below this list. So 1-1, Puriso, means the man, singular. 1-2 means the men, and only in the sense of being the subject of the sentence. So if you see Puriso, you know that that's the subject of the sentence. If you see Purisang, you know it's not the subject of the sentence. Because Purisang, as I said, the ang as the subject is only in neuter. In a neuter noun, Purisang can be the subject of the sentence. But not here, not in masculine. If you see Purisang, you know it's actually the or a man as the object of the sentence. As I said, as I showed you above, I delete that. Nari Purisang Gacchati. Did I delete it? Is it here? Right. 2-2 Purise means the men, the men, but the object of the sentence. So we call it accusative in English. In Pali, they don't have fancy words, they just call it second declension. Dutiya vibhakti. 3-1 Purisena means either with the man, singular, or by the man, again singular. So I had to give you some examples here. I gave you the first two. Let's do some examples of these ones. So 3-1 Purisena, e.g. Let's go back to my Sanskrit. Let's do some Sanskrit. Ramo can't remember. Anyway, let's do Purisena. Sena Vannang Gacchati. Our teacher, the whole year of Sanskrit was all Rama going to the forest. So if you're Hindu, you know, it has meaning to you, but for Buddhists, I think it goes over most people's heads. Is Rama with a long A? I can't remember. Ramo or Ramo? Rama? It's a long A, right?
Ramo? This is a long A, not yeah. Ram.
Ram. So the why? Because the Ramayana, this famous Hindu epic, is all about Rama going to the forest. I've never read it, but it was funny because we had this Sanskrit text and it was all water. It was a watered down version of the Ramayana. So I got the Reader's Digest version of the Ramayana, and it started out Ramo Vanangachati. Rama goes to the forest. So this sentence means Rama. Rama is the object. You have the O. Rama is masculine, so he's declined like Purisa. Gacchati means goes. After the subject, the funny thing in Pali is they put the verb at the end always, almost always. And so to translate in English, we do the beginning, and then we skip right to the end. Ramo gacchati. Rama goes, then we start moving backwards. Vanang, to the forest. Or you can say this means goes to, and this means the forest. So goes to the forest. And then we have this word. Between the subject and the object, you get a whole bunch of different words. And this, and all the rest of these ones, or many of these other ones, will come here. Especially Purisena. Purisena means with a man. So this didn't happen in the Ramayana, I don't think. I think he took... Did he? Okay.
He took a monkey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He took Hanuman, didn't he?
Yeah.
Lakshman? Okay, he took a monkey. Right, so we could use the word for monkey. I don't think it's masculine, though. What's monkey? Forget. Oh, Lakshman is a man? Okay, so he went with a man. Okay.
Oh, yeah, the Lakshman is his other.
All right. Okay, so Rama went. I have a Hindu woman here with me studying Pali. So Rama, with a man, to the forest, goes. This is present. We're not using past tense because they're more difficult. Agacha. Agacha or agachi? I can't remember. I think agacha means gone. Ramo Purisena. What?
Gachami would be.
No, gachami is personal, is first person. I go, I am going. Jutsu would be gachi sati. No, sorry, yikes. Gami sati. Gami sati is plural of gum. Not important, let's not go there yet. Stick with present tense. So, Purisena is 3-1, right? No, the funny thing, would it be dative? No, 2 and 4 is specific. Dative means to give something to. Dative means for the benefit of. Or, yeah, 2 in the sense of the receiver. So this is not 2 in the sense of receiving, it's just 2 in English. There's no prepositions in Pali, as you can see. Gacchati means goes to. In general, gacchati is sakkamadhatu. It's a root. Gum is a root that takes an object. Generally, I don't think you really use the word gacchati without having an object. See, we have in English I can't remember what the words are, but in Pali, sakkamadhatu and akkama or asakkamadhatu means not having an object, not taking an object. This verb takes an object. So gacchati means goes to. Vana just means the forest, it's the object. Okay, 3-2 would be the same, but right, transitive, intransitive, that's the meaning. 3-2 will be the same, I'm not going to give you an example. Okay, 4-1 means to the man. And this is problematic because 4-1 and 6-1 are often the same in a lot of these, if not all of these, declensions. Purisasa. Purisasa is a very common form used for both the asa ending or isa or whatever. No, not isa. Asa, anyway, is a very common ending used for both of these. Now, the genitive form, the 6-1, 6-2 forms, are the most common of all of these later, from 3 to 7. If you look at the later declensions, 3 to 7, 6 is most common, by far. It's how they say a lot of things in Pali. They don't, yeah, it's how they define possession. And so it's quite often, it's used to refer to who, what belongs to what, and what, yeah. So asa is usually 6-1, but you have to use it for 4-1 quite often. Often to make a distinction, just to make it easy, they instead use aya. So 4-1 will often prefer aya simply for that case, like purisaya. If you see purisaya, you know it's 4-1, not 6-1, and for that reason it's often used. But usually, if you're freaking out about the fact that, you know, there's duplicates and there's genders and all this stuff, the context almost always tells you. There are places where it's vague and we have these debates and questions in our Pali study list, but almost always in most cases it's fairly clear which is being referred to. Okay, so let's start here. What's Rama's girlfriend? Sita?
Sita.
It's a long I?
Yeah.
Okay, did she give something to Rama? Let's say she gave something to Rama. Ramasa, what did she give him? Odana, let's say rice, no? Diti. So we have Sita, we're introducing a feminine noun here. Sita is the subject of the sentence. Sita gives, I shouldn't really be using Hindu words, should I? Let's switch this to Upasiko Buddhang. Make it Buddhist, right? The Upasika, The upasaka means a lay follower. Deity gives. Deity is an irregular form of da, which deity also works, I think. But deity. Odanang is the object. This is a 2-1 form. See how useful these 2-1 numbering is. Budang here. Budasa. Wait a second. Am I right here? Yeah. Upasako buddhasa odanang deity. The upasaka gives the rice 2-1 to the Buddha 4-1. 1-1. And this is a 1-1, but it's a whole different declension system. This one don't worry about because this deity is a verb, so don't worry about it. The 1-1 form of a verbal declension, we're not worrying about this. Okay, and you could also say upasako buddhasa odanang pacchati. And this means the lay follower, male lay follower in this case, cooks the rice for the Buddha. It's not 2 anymore, it's now 4. So it's for the benefit of. Upasaka cooks the rice for the Buddha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously in Devanagari, there's no capitals. There's only what there is, right? So are there, aren't there? In English, it varies. purists probably wouldn't use capitals. So I don't use capitals.
Mantra is there a toilet for offering instead of giving?
For offering? You mean a more formal form?
Right, to the Buddha. Like,
it's funny how all Theravada, anyway, Theravada Buddhist languages, I don't know about Mahayana, they all have these honorific forms of verbs, right? Or in nouns as well. Like monks don't just eat, they do something special to the food. They don't just go, they do something special in going. Pali doesn't have that. Pali in Sanskrit. Funny, the monks still eat like everyone else.
Yeah, special food.
Thai has the same, Cambodian has the same. Sinhalese. But Bali doesn't. I mean, there are some words that are more polite, but you know, they give deity, you actually give to the Buddha. And the Buddha just eats. Yeah, there's no special forms.
When you say offer, you get the sense that they give it respectfully, as opposed to just hand it out.
Yeah, there's a word that means with respect. It's sakang, I think. Why am I thinking sakang? No, that's not right. It starts with an S, I think. But there's a word that means with respect. And you just add that on. So it gives with respect. But again, it's not like that's required when you're talking about the Buddha. There's no such requirement. There's no such sense that such a thing should be required.
I think the Thais, especially, are very respectful. I think ceremonial.
Yeah, they've certainly kept that aspect. I mean, the other countries have it as well, but Thais are very formal in many ways. But in Sri Lanka as well, they have words that they use for monks. Like lay people, Yanoa, monks, Wadinoa. Different words for just to go somewhere. Monks don't go, they Wadinoa.
Yeah, also for eating, you say Walandenoa.
Right, it's totally different. Kanoa is very similar to Pali, but Walandeno, I don't know where that comes from. Very special word. Okay. Make a couple of notes here. 3.1, the third form, as I said, means with or by. So with in the sense of accompaniment, and with or by in the sense of instrumental. So it's called the instrumental form, but it's not always the instrumental. It's also there's two forms here. Instrumental and auxiliary, I think, is the other one. Auxiliary in the sense of accompaniment. So here I've used it in the sense of accompaniment. Bhikkhu. The monk, I'm going to get lost here. Bali's not good enough. Let's say this, kutting. It's to be plural, right? Banana, I think, means a leaf. Don't quote me on it. Patting means fan. Patting. We need a mask and pretend I'm right here. Banana means with the leaf. And kutting, we're not going to use that anymore. Budang. Oh, now I need a verb. Forget it. Ah, where'd I go? Okay. But yeah, vocabulary was never my strong point. Which is embarrassing because now I need it. What's a good accusative? What do you do things with? Teaches, no. Goes, no. Well, we could say that the bhikkhu goes to the village. Gamang gacchati. So goes to the village by way of a cart. I don't remember how you say cart. Oh, by the way of the road, we could say, right? Do I remember? Forget it. Can't do it. Anyway. Yeah, but they can't go by horse, that's the thing. Turaga, we got a horse there.
They could be riding the ox.
Well, let's do some actual examples, because composition is hard. Kam muna vadati loko. Oops, got the wrong place. I'm cheating here because kamuna is not masculine. It's actually an irregular form. But this is a 3-1. Not masculine. Okay, anyway. Just give you an example. We'll erase this because it's embarrassing. But loko, the world, vatati, goes or fares or exists. Kamuna by kamma, according to kamma. Through kamma. So it continues because of kamma. Because of, not because of. Yeah, by kamma. Anyway, doing something with something, killing someone with a sword, eating with your hand, right? Bhikkhu, there's a good one. Bhikkhu hatena odanang gun. And write this special nya. Yet, I'll have it next week. Okay, I got one. So the bhikkhu, the monk, eats the rice with his hand. Good, got one. Okay, number 4 is dative, it refers to giving to someone. Right, so that's clear. Number 5 means from. So when you leave something behind, Buddho Nagarasma ni vigacchati nikamati. I think nikamati means to go out. I remember correctly. The Buddha goes out from the city, nagara. So nagara sma is the ablative ending, means from. This is also used in the case of fear. Let's do something more. Biety. Sorry. When you fear something in Pali, this is idiomatic, but this is how it is. When you're talking about fear, and this will get you if you ever get into translations, it gets me. I wonder, why is that in the ablative? Because of fear. When you fear something, you fear from it. That's how you say fear. That's how you describe fear. The bhikkhu is not afraid of hell. Nirya is hell. He's not afraid of hell. He's afraid from hell. Just how you say it. Means his fear comes from hell. No, hell is the cause of his fear. It's just in Sanskrit Pali, that's how you describe fear. It's from. It's not how we do it in English, so there's no real way of understanding it. It's just the way they do it in their language. It's like there's another big one that you're going to have to learn when we get to verbs. But in Pali Sanskrit, you don't say the Buddha has a bowl or the Buddha has robes. You say there are the robes of the Buddha, or there are robes of the Buddha, or robes of the Buddha exist. The same with Sanskrit as well. When first learning Sanskrit, it's not easy to come to get your head around that. They don't have the word has. Instead, we use this next form, 6-1, 6-2. So, we have the Buddhasa sasanang okay, this is a 6-1 form. It's genitive, possessive. The possessive form always comes before the thing that is being possessed. Definitely a rule you have to remember. It's something that eventually will become second nature to you. But in the beginning, one of the main core rules, because 6-1 is used so often, remembering this is essential for learning Pali. The possessor, in this case, the Buddha, always comes directly before the thing being possessed, sasana, which means religion or dispensation. So the religion of the Buddha, that's what this means. In English, we have, this is one case where English actually uses declensions. This here is a declension. Probably comes from the same place as the asa. Why there's an S in both is probably from the same ancient thing, you know, usage or means. Buddha's religion is Buddha sasana. Sorry, I don't quite get what you want me to do, but it sounds like cheating. And that's what you're asking, is it cheating? Why? Because we want immersion. I want to make it hard for you. I know it's giving you a headache, but important to eventually the immersion of it will get you. And when I studied Sanskrit, we didn't even get to use Roman lettering. All of our exercises, they were all using Devanagari. And that's tough. So I cheated. Whenever I did my exercises, I'd take them home, and then I'd transliterate them into Roman first. And then I had a friend who was taking the course after me, and he was calling me up and asking me, you know, for help on his, because I still had the textbook, and so he'd asked me for help on the grammar. And I said, well, the first thing you should do is transliterate it into Roman. And he said, oh, our teacher told us never to do that because you'll make mistakes. And I said, man, trust me. And obviously, learning it in Devanagari is great, but until you get Devanagari down and you really just can really read Devanagari, it's to really get a feel for it. Anyway, You don't have that problem. We're using Roman letters here. But getting a feel for these words. Don't worry so much about translation. We're not there yet. What I want you to figure out here is just the declensions. So what is the third form? What is the fourth form? That's it. We're not into translation yet. You're not even close to being able to translate. We haven't even gotten to Sandhi. As I said, Sandhi is something we should have done before all of this. But I'm ambivalent because it's not really necessary for all of this. So we'll be doing Sandhi afterwards. But until we get through Sandhi, you can't even make sense of a Pali passage. I mean, these are simple ones I'm giving you, so they're not bad, but not there yet. Don't worry about it. Just get a sense that there are these different forms. And they look differently. Okay, 6-2 is going to be the same. 7-1 and 7-2 are locative. Locative or locative, however you pronounce it, refers to the place. So in, at, on, the place that something is or something occurs. The place that the activity described in the sentence takes place. Are you taking notes? You should get some paper. I got lots of paper. All right. Purisasming, purisamhi, purise. Any one of these. Purisamhi is rare. It exists. Poetry has some purisamhi, but purisasming is common in purise, and it usually depends on the meter, how it flows, which one you use. Purise, of course, very brief. Purisasming, longer. I hope some of you are writing this down, because that'll really help you if you actually are writing down the lessons. If you're just listening, not easy for a lot of it to sink in. Okay. Purisasming, purisamhi, purise. So in, at, on, all of these are proper translations in English. So the Buddha, Wanang, Wanasming means in the forest. Wasati lives. The Buddha lives in the forest.
Bhante, isn't it long in Asati? Vasati?
No, I don't think so. No, it would be if it when it becomes a noun. And so there are probably certain verb forms that will be strengthened. That first vowel is often strengthened for different reasons, but in basic verb forms, not strengthened. This one isn't anyway. Was is the to dwell. But we have this word in Pali, vasana, which you probably have in Sinhala. Do you know the word vasana?
Yes, ma'am. It's luck.
Yeah, it's funny, luck. In Thai, they say, in Thai, vasana is similar luck. It's funny because that's not at all what it means. Well, it's nowhere it gets it from. But vasana doesn't mean luck. Vasana means that which you come with from a past life. And so you may say, yes, that's what it means. But no, good or bad. Vasana includes bad things. Vasana can be good, can be bad. It's vasana means, and it comes from...
habits.
Yes, that come from past lives. No, that's maybe how it is in Hindu. You have it in Hindi as well? Yeah. So... it's funny, every language has different meaning then. But vasana comes from the verb vas, which means to dwell. So it's where you start, what you start with in this life. The Buddha has no vasana, And the context in which it's used is a Buddha discards all vasana, habits, predilections, idiosyncrasies. This is where the story of the arahant who behaved like a monkey, right? Jumping over the river, or the monk who called his friend, the arahant who called all his fellow monks low class. He called them names. He used a derogatory term to refer to them. But it was just his vasana. It was just his way of behaving. He didn't mean anything by it. The Buddha does away with those things. The Buddha has no idiosyncrasies that make him different from other Buddhas. All Buddhas act as a Buddha. So there you see the A has been strengthened to make it a noun form, which is quite common. Is like if you have sati. Wait, is sati one of them? I'm not sure. I think sati is an example of strengthening. Seta, let's say. Seta means the highest. Comes from sit or sid. I'm not sure. Sid. Sit. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a bad example. But strength.
Isn't there another word with double S? Vasati?
With double S, vasati. No, wouldn't be a long A with a double S. Vasati. I don't think there's a like vadati, vasati. There's no long.
Vadati is to speak, right?
Vadati is to speak. Yeah. Where's that going with that? Oh yeah, another one is bodhi. Bodhi is a strengthening of budge, actually. The root is budge, and so that's where you get Buddha from budge. And am I right about that? I think it's all that. Budge is awakening or coming to know. I'm not sure if that's exactly the root. But
like in Bodhjanga.
Bode or bodge, these are strengthened. Anyway, totally different lesson. That's for much later. We don't even have that in this textbook. We'll have to talk about that in part two of this course, once we write the second part of the textbook. Okay, so the Buddha dwells in the forest. Now, there's another sense in which this is used, and again, I have to think of an example, is the sense in regards to. If you want to say something is in regards to something, you use the 7-1, the 7 form, 7-1, 7-2, usually 7-1. So, Vatu means a story, right? Vatu, let's see this, Buddha, the Buddha, just a second, I'm going to get an actual Pali sentence here. What I did, which was kind of neat that I did before, is I would go through at the end of each class, we'd go through some Pali texts, and it was neat for people to get a chance to No, don't have it. I thought this would use... not using the 7. Okay, in regards to, the Buddha tells the story, what to... not going to get it.
What's a good example in regards to something? Okay, I fail. Obviously, I need these sorts of examples, so I'm going to try to get you some for future. When we actually put together for the completion of this course and this textbook, I really need better examples. A good textbook that has them. Introduction to Buddhism. I don't have it here. So the locative is generally used for where you exist, but it can also be used to describe in regards to the what something occurs. So the Buddha told the story in regards to, or he laid down a rule in regards to a monk who did something awful. No, maybe that's even still a bad example. Anyway, I'll come up with one. I'll point it out when we get to it. That's the best I can do right now. Yeah, I mean, those primers, the problem with them is that they don't give you this, they don't give you such an overall. Well, they don't follow the grammars, as I said. They don't give you as good of a framework as this method. The reason why I chose this and why I actually wanted to put this together was in order to get back to the old traditional way. No, it's not that important. You know what I think would be better is we'll go through a text together. Somehow we'll go through a text and then I'll point all this out. And to just make it clear to you that there is this, where do we go? This locative, this special sense of the locative case. That we are in regards to something. About. So when you tell a story about someone. Or you call a meeting. You know, if the Buddha called a meeting in regards to discussion of someone's punishment or something like that. Not punishment, but denouncement.
Would using the Dhammapada verses be helpful?
Absolutely not. That would be a horrible mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Because Dhammapada is the hardest of the hardest, because it's poetry. So definitely not. They use the Dhammapada to study, but they study the commentary. They don't study the verse. Well, they do study the verses, but eventually. The first 2 years, they don't look at the verses. The third year, they start to look at the verses, because by then, they can get a sense of it. But it's very difficult, because it's irregular. It's poetry. Poetry is very difficult. I mean, it's a nice thought, because it's so familiar. But the Dhammapada commentaries would be awesome. And I put together a reader for this course. And actually what we did is, even just at the very beginning of the course, the one student I had him go through it, start to go through it, even with no, like before he got any of what I'm going through here, any explanation, I said, okay, start translating it. I mean, he wanted to do it.
So if you're keen enough, you can do that because it's immersion. You just, it's guesswork in the beginning. It's like a puzzle that you're putting together. And then you come to the class with all sorts of questions, and as I give you more and more information, you say, oh, that's what that means. And then you can translate more. So he was doing translations from the very, very beginning, which was an interesting sort of immersive way of doing it. Obviously, a big problem we have here is the internet. It's very, there's this disconnect, and we're dealing with a document, which is not the best format. Obviously, a whiteboard would be much more, is much more conducive. And being able to work with students together. Anyway, let's try and get through this last bit, and then we'll quit, and I'll sort of wrap up. So hopefully you're getting something out of this. Orisa is, the A1 and the A2 are alapana, they're called. It's the Pali word. It means vocative. It's calling or addressing someone. So Bo Purisa, I think that works, right? Bo is like, hey, and Purisa. So if you ever actually see the word Purisa somewhere, you can see the only place that occurs is in the vocative. So it actually is addressing. So if you were to say Buddha, that means, hey, Buddha. Of course, in many cases, it's indistinguishable from the 1-1 form. So if you have bhikkhu, and here's an example of where the A1 form is, A2 form is different from the 1-1-2 form. Bhikkhave is also vocative. Bhikkhave means, hey, monks. The Buddha uses it a lot. Whereas the 1-2 form is bhikkhavo. One of the rare cases where it's actually different. Bhikkhavo means the monks. But bhikkhave means, hey, monks.
So there's nothing similar to saying you. It would just be the word, but directed at someone?
Yeah, there is a word you. We'll get into that later. But you is interesting. You doesn't have vocative, because it's always vocative. You is always talking to someone. So you just say tuang. Tuang means you. Gacha. Go, you. Gacha is a form of a verb. It's or gachahia, either one. Gacha or gachahia is the 2-1 form of the verb, meaning you go. Tuang gachahi. You normally wouldn't say this, you just say gacha. Gacha means go. But tuang gachahia. You should go. No, gachahiasi. Think? A bit rusty. Gachayasi. Yeah, gachayasi, I think. You gachayasi means you should go. Tuang gachayasi, you should go. But you wouldn't normally put that as a command. The command is gacha. And then there's this darapire. One of my favorite, it's interesting because you don't get these kind of harsh speech
But this is one case where you have a very harsh sort of speech. Cara pirewina saati. Funny why they would use such harsh speech. But cara means go. Pira means evil man. Pire is you evil person. Winasati, may you not come to anything. May you not succeed in your evil wishes, basically. May you be destroyed is probably more direct. Chara piru winasati. In the Vinaya. For someone with evil wishes and doing horrible things. Chara, so chara pire, interesting. Chara pire. I mean, it's pira, but I think it's pire. But this is a vocative form. Anyway, oh Purisa, hey Purisa. Yeah, something like that. Something like go to hell. Not what you'd expect in the Vinaya, but it's there. All right, so that's a really important lesson. I hope it wasn't too hard to understand, but now you should get a feel for what you're up against. You shouldn't be able, there's no sense that you should be able to translate at this point, but you should understand that there are different forms of words. So how you work this is first you memorize the form of the chart, right? What does 1-1 mean? What does 2-1 mean? What do each of the 7 vibhuti mean? Right, so you get that chart down, and then you work out all 13 charts. Puriso, purisa, purisang, purise, purisena, purisehi, purisebhi, purisasa, purisaya, purisatang, purisanang, purisasma, purisamha, puris... There's another one missing. Purisamha. Why did I forget that? There we go here. Purisasma, purisamha. Purisa, purisas, purisehi, purisebhi, purisasa, purisas, purisanang, purisasming, purisamhi, purise, purisesu, purisa, purisa. That's purisa. That's 1. Memorize 13 of those. So the next one is muni munayo muni muning munayo muni munina munihi munibhi munino mun. I think you don't have munisa, do you? Or do you? Munisa munino. It's been a while, no? I'm going to have to get back into this. Yeah. Munisa munino muninang munisma munimha mun. Nihi munibi. No, that's wrong. Munisma is the only one, right? Munisa munino muninang munisming munisu muni munayo muni. That's the second one. Very similar, actually. If you look at them, there's a lot of similarities. So there are 13 charts, but they're quite similar. Many of them are quite similar. The best thing to do is after a lesson like this is to actually take you through the texts, which I can't really do with this format. I guess I could copy and paste something in there and we could go through it. That's what he did in Introduction to Pali by Warder's text. But you can't just read that text. You need a teacher taking you through the text. Yeah, I promised I'd look at open meetings. I never actually looked at that again. But maybe I'll try to set up open meetings to... It's this platform that allows you to do this sort of thing with a whiteboard and documents and stuff. That would work. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I have to head off now. So thank you all for muddling through that with me. Hope it was... Did someone actually say it was useful down there? Very helpful. Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Was there any sense that it was informative? Did anyone learn anything today? Did you learn things? Give me some feedback here.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
And, you know, just having it recorded is going to help so much. I can't imagine trying to learn this and to get it all at the first shot.
I agree.
I think probably much of it's going to, you're just going to have to get what you can and hope that someday you have a real Pali course where you can sit down with a teacher and have a whiteboard and everything. Because we don't really have that here. Teaching over the internet is not, never going to be the same as teaching in person.
No, having the recordings, I've listened to the prior sessions, and like the second time you listen to it, it makes a lot more sense.
Okay. I can understand that. Yeah, if you just came in here, well, the first lessons weren't that, they were on a different topic, really. And they weren't that, like last week's lesson wasn't all that important. It was some preliminary stuff. Today's lesson's the most important. It's really the only big lesson until we get to verbs. And the next lesson I'll look at, but we might have one more lesson on this, going through the different conjugations, but there's not much to go through. Really, for next week, well, eventually you're going to want to read through the rest of the charts down there, because that's all it is for the next several pages, is just the 13 charts that you have to memorize. And then, below those charts, there should be numbers, I think. Or maybe then we get into Sunday, right? Right, after the 13 charts, there's then all the irregulars. So next week, I guess I'll talk to you about the irregulars. The real problem with Warder is, again, he doesn't give you the bigger picture. He doesn't follow the example of the grammars by doing it the way I'm doing, giving you all seven cases all at once, so you get a sense of the bigger picture. That's how it's supposed to be taught. But Warder is an excellent reference. He's got so much in there. It's just a shame that he didn't use the intended format, because it's... For reference, it's great, but for actually learning, I don't see how you could possibly do that. Okay, and once we do whatever we have left to do for this, we're going to go into Sunday, because Sunday is, I guess, the next big lesson. Should be a lot easier than this. Like, conceptually, Sunday's really easy, but you actually using it takes time to use it. I mean, the thing about a whiteboard is it's one space that you can put lots of different stuff on. Having an internet window is, I think it's substandard, unless you've got all sorts of room to play with, like to draw arrows and stuff, which there are ways of doing it, but you know, underlining things, pointing to things. Part of it is just the teacher with his pointer, right? You don't have me with my pointer, so I've got to highlight words. It's not quite the same. There's a little bit of a disconnect is all. But anyway, hope you got something out of it. Sounds like it was still at least useful. So thank you all for tuning in, and glad to have people actually interested. To see you again next week.
Thank you, Bhante.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. See you next week.